Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today's episode is about the power of heart-centered communication, and it's with award-winning author Tammy J. Cohen. She is also a brand messaging consultant and a podcast host herself. Tammy's work spans from reshaping how we speak to our children to transforming how we connect with our clients and communities. She's the author of Text Messages to My Sons, and she's the founder of the Women Beyond the Table Network and a passionate advocate for messaging that reflects love, values, and authenticity. And today we're going to explore how her intentional approach to communication strengthens both personal and professional relationships and how we can all put her insights into work in our lives and businesses. Welcome, welcome, finally, to the show.
Well, it's so great to be on, and thank you so much for having me on, Janice, because I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So Tammy lives in one of my favorite places, New York, and it's been a long time since I've been there, but I know the world is busy in that area constantly, right? They say the city is alive. What do they say?
They say the city never sleeps.
So that never sleeps, right. That's right. Is that true?
Yeah, Manhattan has that reputation. There's always a lot of activities and things going on. Not sure what the future of Manhattan's going to bring, but we'll hope for the best.
Yes, for sure. All right. I want to start with your book, Text Messages to My Sons. And I want to ask you, what sparked that idea and how did this project shift your personal relationships?
That's a great question. It's a great leading question. And I want to say that I actually, you know, the way that the whole thing started was during the pandemic. We were all shut down and we had an opportunity to kind of like think about where our lives were, right? A lot of people went through great resignation. They were like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to, you know, go back the way I was. I want to change things. For me, I was, you know, traveling a lot for work. I was very happy with that part of my life. But there was a part of me that was not okay. I always felt like these feelings of resentment. I had a lot of limiting beliefs about myself, and I always had a lot of these thoughts, and I really didn't know where they came from. And when you're traveling, when you're busy with work, you know, it's easy to get lost in all that. And I have three kids, but I was, you know, I'd done the mother routine, but I always worked. And I was kind of like, what's going on with me? I'm home. My clients, you know, it was like disappearing everything. And I was like, well, why do I feel this way? So what happened was I just immersed myself, Janice, in like all these different programs, these learning opportunities, courses. I was like Unleash the Power Within, Joe Dispenza. I was Robin Sharma. I was reading. I was really into it. And I was learning a lot. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. Like, I don't know, learning about the subconscious, the limiting beliefs and why we do things and saboteurs and all kinds of things. I was like, you know, nobody teaches us this stuff in school.
No.
About worthiness or resilience or accountability. Like, we just don't learn it in school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a focus, gratitude, you know, none of it is. So I kind of was like, you know, this is really interesting stuff. I want to share it with my sons, like when I'm learning, because I just thought it was wild. And so I started messaging them. Like every day I was messaging them a message about something I learned. I was quoting some thought leader. And what was amazing to me is most of the thought leaders I was quoting lived hundreds of years ago or 50, 60 years ago, or, you know, it. And I was like, wow, there's so much information. I mean, you could read a book. And somebody sharing like what took them 30 years to figure out, they're sharing with you in a book that you can read in a couple of days or a week. And during the pandemic, like there was so much time to read. And Tony Robbins was like, get a mentor, read a book, you know. Like, and I was just like, this is amazing. And I was buying my kids books that I was reading and like, let's talk about Napoleon Hill. So what happened was, as I was messaging them, I just all of a sudden I just started telling them how much I love them, how much they mean to me, how grateful I am that they're in my life, how extraordinary they are, how worthy they are. It just started coming out. The messages were always sharing wisdom, but it became about heart-centered feelings that really started pouring out of me. And I had no intention, Janice, of writing a book. This wasn't to write a book. There was no, it was text messages, you know. And I was telling people what I was doing because, you know, you're talking and you're virtual stuff because it's a pandemic. Not that that's really changed much. And, you know, my friends and colleagues would be like, wow, that's amazing. You should put that in a book. And I was like, how do you do that? I don't know how to write a book. Like, what if you write a
Right.
book? What do I do? I don't know what to do. So, like everybody else, I turned to like Google and I was like, editor, you know, like find me an editor. Cause I didn't, I one thing I was thinking, if I'm gonna put anything into a book, I need to work with a professional editor at least, because I don't want to put something out that's, you know, you can self-publish all day long, and I don't want to put something out that's not at least done well. So I Googled and I found an editor and I started working with an editor, and it was editing services. And the next thing I knew, I'd published self-published text messages to my sons, the first edition, Connecting Deeply in a World of Devices. And it was a great experience, and it won a couple of awards, and it was wonderful. But as I really thought about it, and as things started unfolding, like the first book published on October 4th, my oldest son's birthday in 1993, I'm sorry, in 2023, and October 7th then happened. And as a Jew, like, you know, of course the messages started changing because of what was going on and how my sons and I were talking about it. And then just life started happening, all kinds of different things. And I put out a second edition, but this time it was with a publisher. And I put in, you know, I just learned so much, like in the
Interesting.
from before when with the first book. And I said, there's so much more I can add because it's become so much more rich, like as far as the experiences I'm having with my son, what I'm learning from everything. And it became amazing. And
Okay,
it makes such a difference.
I need to back up for a second. So when you first started sending the text messages to your sons, and your sons were adults, right? They were le not, I can't hear anything outside, so don't worry. When you were first sending text messages to your sons, and they were grown up, they were living out of the house, correct?
Well, okay. So my older two were living downtown. They still are. They live in East Village. My youngest, my 25-year-old, he's now 25. He still lives at home. So when I started, they were all living in different places. You know, my kids were out of the house. But the thing is, when your kids are in college or they're on semesters abroad or they're doing this or they're doing that, they come home, right? But they're not there. So when I first started, yeah, they were in different locations. Yeah, they weren't all at home or anything like that.
Okay, so and I don't know if things are different with boys than with girls because I only have girls. But the first thing that came to my mind was when you were learning all of this self-development, personal development stuff, because I've done this too, and I start trying to share it with my kids and they just roll their eyes. So I just wondered if you had any pushback at the beginning.
Well, no, because I didn't try to have a conversation with
You
them.
just sent it out with
Yeah,
nothing,
like
no
let's face
expectation.
it. The first thing I realized, if I want to change a conversation with my kids, I have to reach them where they are. Everybody's on their phone. Nobody's having really in-person conversations. And when you're discussing like anything, if you go on a little too long, nobody can listen. Nobody can pay attention. So I was like, okay, my kids are on their phone. And I know everybody, like before the pandemic, it was the estimate was about 70% of the time people were spending on their phones. And then once the pandemic hit, it was continuous. It's still continuous. As a matter of fact, now the phones and the technology is so much more nefarious because you have algorithms that are designed to actually keep you on the phone longer, keep you engaged longer, to learn your preferences, to learn what you like. So what they're feeding you constantly is whatever you're clicking on or looking at. So if you're looking at train wrecks all day and misinformation and indoctrination, you're going to get it. You can get whatever you're looking at. So I said, okay, I have a choice here. I want to reach them where they are. So I'm going to text them a message because I know that they have their phone in their hands or in their pocket. And if you have a daughter or you're messaging women, it's in her bag. Okay. So it's near them. They're going to look first at the message. And you have to keep it to a certain point. I mean, I tend to, my messages are a little bit long because I'm sharing, but, and it is annoying for my sons. They tell me sometimes, but that's okay. But they're reading it. I have zero expect, this is really important, and I'm going to repeat it. I have zero expectations in return. I have zero expectations in return. You don't do any of these messaging things if you're expecting to be love validated or told you're the best mom or parent or person in the world doing it. That's not what you're doing, and it's it's unconditional. So, I figured my kids were reading it. What happened was, then they wrote the foreword to the book. They were admiring that I was actually going into this metamorphosis, that I was trying to learn things, that at my age I was trying to be, to teach, to share, to not parent at them. I wasn't telling them what to do. I wasn't giving them advice. I was just sharing what I was learning, that I was open to learning things. But that's really important for our kids to say that doesn't matter how old you are, that you're open to other ideas and other ways of doing things and thinking. When I started messaging about accountability, I was being accountable to them. I was explaining to them like a lot of the things and a lot of behaviors that I did weren't right, that I didn't act right with them a lot because I was frustrated or resentful or not happy that day, or something didn't go right, or I was being triggered and I took it out on them. And you can't take that stuff back, especially when your children are living there, and they're like looking, they're, you're the power in the house, and they're just looking at it like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Why is she screaming? Like what's wrong with me? And I really wanted, because I grew up like that, I really realized, what have I done in a lot of ways. When I started doing that kind of messaging with them, they started seeing me as a human being.
Yes, I
They
can see
started
that.
seeing me as somebody who's admitting to things. Now, you want your kids to be accountable. You want them to have respect. You have to show it. So I chose to do it with messages because I knew that's what they'd see. And what's really, really cool is when they wrote the foreword to the book, because I said, look, I'm going to put this in a book. And they were like, well, you're not going to put our picture on it, are you? I'm like, no, the picture's in the second book. They're fine now, of course. That I really included them in. I said, this is our thing. I've been sending these messages to you guys, so I want your feedback. And I would share, like, what do you think of this design? What do you think of this format? What do you think? And but when they wrote the foreword, I was really touched because it, for them, they, what people don't realize is that there's somebody who's taking the time to love you. And that's what meant something to them. Like, here's a person who's like taking the time to tell us how much we matter, how much they love us, to take the time to do this. It is a habit, but it's 10 minutes of your day. And if you don't have of 960 minutes that people are awake from Monday to Friday, I'm not even talking about the weekends because I don't do it on the weekends. It's Monday to Friday. It's a lot of minutes. If you can't find 10 minutes, there's something up.
Now,
And that's how it started. But they appreciated it, and they appreciated having somebody who cares because it made them feel bulletproof.
well, did do you are any of your sons fathers?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I wonder when they will start, to speak their truth from what you've written,
Well, you know what? That's the whole point, right? Like, remember that Bella Balsam, and then you'll tell two friends and so on. So, okay. So I'm thinking there's a lot of things with this. When I first did it, it was to my sons, but I've been telling people it doesn't have, you don't have to have kids. I have
You don't.
grandparents doing it with grandchildren. I have people doing it with nieces and nephews, with friends who they feel need it or disconnected, partners,
Well,
husbands,
I mean,
wives.
it fits so much into my philosophy around sending greeting cards. Because that's part of what I do, and I teach others to do, and what we teach in our company, because it's about the kindness revolution in a way, is you send out to give, you don't expect anything in return. So just send out that love, send out that, and it's exactly what you're doing with your book. What would you say are some common mistakes that people make when trying to build connection, especially over digital platforms?
That's a great question. Mistakes. Well, like the biggest one I see is people tell me like, oh, like I don't know what to say, and what should I say? And I'm like, well, here's a book. There's 215 pages of messages. You can tweak one. Use it. There's all categories of messages. They're all in text. It's text format. It's real easy to read. I said, but it's going to become heart-centered. Don't worry about what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if they don't like it? What if they don't want to talk to me? What if they hate me? Like, don't think about that. You're starting a habit with really good intention. And what's your intention? Is it to get them to validate you? Is it to look like you're a great mom? What are you doing it for? If it's unconditional and you just want to deepen that connection and you want to do it up where they're at. And you want to, like, I have a mother who told me that she started with her son, and he said, I only want to do this on Snapchat. Can you do it on Snapchat? And she was like, what's Snapchat? I was like, it's an app, I think. Like, okay, but you don't have to put a lot of pressure. And because it's actually very easy, you don't. I got one of your cards, by the way. You sent me a card when I was going through, especially treatment with breast cancer, and I was so touched by that. And really, what is this? This is a message in a lunchbox. This is the note. I remember growing up, and you look at the kid who get the
Oh,
message
I
from the
love that. The message in a
lunchbox,
lunchbox. Yes,
and
yes.
you'd be like, "I was always like, the kid's so lucky. They got a
Yes.
note from their mom that they love them. Like, that was really wonderful."
Yes.
So just think of it like everybody's got a phone. And thank goodness we all know how to like use it and text. You're not doing anything really technologically advanced. You're not talking to AI on here and saying like,
No.
"Help me write a message."
Yeah.
People are using AI to do this,
Yes.
by the way. And I'm like, "That's cool if that's
I'm
what you're
okay
talking
with that
about."
too, as long as they make it their own
I
after.
said, "If you want to use AI, use AI, but just don't go into this worrying about if you're doing it right or if they're going to hate it." I had one mom say to me, "My daughter, she loves it. She thinks it's wonderful." My son said, "Don't you dare." I'm like, "That's okay. What are you worried about? Keep sending the messages, because believe me, he's gonna read them. He's not gonna say, he's gonna appreciate it. Because when we move on to our next lives, what do you think your kid is gonna miss? What you bought them? They're gonna think about what you bought them. They're gonna miss that message every day. They're gonna miss that, I love you. You matter." I don't know
So,
how old, it doesn't matter how old a person is either, Janice. I don't care. I've met people every age. They want to know they were loved by their parents and the parents thought they were worthy.
all of these, you're saying this person's asking you this, this, where are these people coming from? Are they writing to you? Or are you speaking to different events? Because it's become a whole thing, obviously.
Yeah. So people message me. I get messages on my website, on social media. And what's really great is, also through an Amazon reviews, when you read, like, people leaving reviews, so, and they're sharing, like, "I tried this with this person and it was great. They loved it." My aunt's friends, my aunt is a grandmother, and she started messaging her grandchildren because they're in college. A lot of grandparents have grown adult grandchildren, and she just started sharing the book with all of her friends,
Love it.
And it's really interesting. She's like, "Oh my God." And they see me when I come visit and stuff, and they'll tell me, because she's in Florida half the year, so I'll go to the community. And I just have people reaching out to me and sharing, and it's a beautiful thing. I have a lot of friends who are doing it too. They started doing it, and people are telling me, "You know what, my kids are really little. But I'm gonna do it with them when they're old enough." And I'm like, "You know what? This is the beauty of it, right?" And I've had people say to me, like, "I don't have a kid, but I love my niece and nephew." I'm like, "Do with your niece and nephew. Like, it's okay. Like, whoever you want to do with." But here's the thing. Kids, okay, like, when do they first get a phone? A lot of times you give a kid a phone in middle school, right? Because there's more of an independence. They're walking to school, maybe they're older. But of course, the message that you're going to send a college kid and a high school kid is different than a middle school kid. Well, every milestone of when they move from lower school to middle school to high school, they're getting more independent, right? So you have to respect that and you have to treat them that way, but you also have to remember the age.
Yes, good point.
So you have to tailor the message for each stage of life. So what I tell people is, when my kids were in high school, I was sending them reminders, reprimands, sometimes, reprimands, sometimes commands, where are you? What's going on? Because they live at home. So you still have, there's a coordination thing. Don't think like, okay, now I'm going to tell them only I love them and I'm not going to send anything. It's okay to tell them, hey, I'm not happy with what you did. It's there's
Yeah.
no, they're teenagers, they're in
Right.
middle school. You have to understand, but once they move out and they start going to college, they're not at home. They come home, but they're not at home.
Right.
You have to be cognizant of where they are and where
In
they're
their
at and tailor that
time of
message.
life.
When a kid is already working and they're supporting themselves and they're moving out and they're taking that apartment, they're done with school, that's a different kid. That's an adult. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the beauty is that they could be. I have a daughter who's, just in her early 50s. She's still my kid,
Always,
right? They're
always
always
gonna
your
be there.
kid, right? So that's the thing. All right. I don't know if you're doing any brand consulting right now. Are you still doing? Yeah. Okay. So in your brand consulting work that you do, how do you help your clients clarify their message and communicate more authentically?
That's such a great question. So first of all, it all goes back to talking to the client. Like when I work with a client, I mean, we go through a whole with this homework. We go through a series of questions because I really want to understand. I want them to think about like, what are five things that you really love about what you do, your business? Like, what are five things that you actually know about your audience, your client? Like, tell me five things. It's very challenging.
Yes.
What are your values? What is your vision? What is your mission? Like sometimes they really don't have that formulated, or they do, and they're not really. So I said it all starts from understanding like who you are. You're the
Right.
brand. Like even if you sell, it doesn't matter if your product's called XYZ. It's you. This is you, right? You're selling
Yes,
this. So.
representing you. Yeah.
So what do you know about your audience? What do you know about yourself? What is your why? Why are you in this? Why are you doing anything? I find that a lot of businesses don't know their audiences. Like what makes them tick? What is the need? Why do they need your product? How can you stand out? How can you make it different? How can you have them understand that what you're doing? What is building trust? Like, why should people buy from you? Like, what is it about you? What are you going to do to help them? Or what do you do that's better? Or
Yeah.
what's so trustworthy about you? Like, you have to think about all these things. And once you
Yes.
think about them, then you can, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's a lot of things I want to say.
For
But
sure.
people just look at it like, and I find this is what also was always very amazing to me. Most people, when they're in business, they worry more about their brand messages, how they're messaging an audience, and they don't even think twice about how they message their children, their wives, their friends, how they talk to them. They don't worry about it. They don't even think about it. They only think about like, what am I saying to my audience so they'll buy?
Well, and if I can just add on to that, I agree with you totally. But I also noticed that it's, yeah, what can I do to get them to buy? But it's never what can I do to get them to buy again or
Right.
to, show appreciation to them. That part that never happens.
Yeah, like why like the, and when you have you just sit down and you start with the conversation. And also I'm the type of person that it's not just the business owner. I'm like, if there's a team, like the team has to be talking about like why are you working here? Like what is it that you love about what they're doing?
Right. And it does
What is
come
it
from the
that
top though,
what's your
right? The
buy-in?
whole attitude thing and
Yeah, like why is everybody working together here? Like I even say, I'd like to come and sit there and watch you guys, right?
Yeah.
See what you're doing, see how you do it. Because it is a conversation, like everything else, there is a conversation and it goes into it. And you could really pick up a lot by asking questions, doing the little bit of homework, doing your research. So I don't think it's such a great idea. Like people I'll just go out and they'll say like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my business, and this is what I want people to know about me. Why should they care about knowing about you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, think about Who are you selling? Think about
Yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Why would they want you? What is so great about you? Like, and what do they need? Do you even know what they need? Like, I've seen a lot of people come up with services and stuff, and I'm like, is there a need? Like, are you solving something? Are you
Yeah.
a problem? Like,
No, I
what's
just thought it was a
out?
great idea, right?
And they're like, oh, well, and then like they, or the business has changed, right? Like they'll take over a business from their family business, or things change. Things are changing so quickly, and they don't realize it. Like they don't realize things have changed, or the audience shifted. The audience,
Right.
their audience aged out. They just don't. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's
For
asking
sure.
questions always. Yeah.
That's okay, for sure. All right, let's talk a little bit about Women Beyond the Table. This is a network that you, I think, have had for, I'm not sure how long, and what role does relationship building play in the growth of this organization?
Relationship building is in everything, because people do business, people join networks that where they like and trust, where they feel they
Yeah,
like.
sometimes I have to say with relationship with organizations, sometimes you join one, and I'm speaking from experience, and I'm not sure they're my people. I'm not sure I had to find out for going a few times, but I'm not really sure that that's my people. So not rushing to go back. So you really do have to feel, I believe, you have to feel the love in the room, so to speak, that they're your
Yeah, and
people.
it takes time because, like, listen, so Women Beyond the Table, it's like 6 years.
Okay.
And how did it start? Well, how did it start, right? So during the pandemic, I
Yeah.
was trying to, like, I lost my bit. Like, I was always a consultant, but my clients in the sector I worked in, the gem and jewelry, was a lot of it had fallen down. It just was like things went haywire for a while. So I was like, well, how do I build my business? How do I expand? What do I do? Like, what? So I started really thinking, and I was like, wow, I've never needed a website or needed any of these tool things before because I had clients, and it was like word of mouth for me. I was like, wow, I'm gonna need some skills here. So I was like Googling, website developers,
Okay.
copywriters, and well, like, what's digital? Like, what is a digital touch points? Like, I have to, like, social media. Like, I
Yeah.
never bothered with this stuff because I was busy, I was working with clients.
And you were
Well,
face to face and going to different stores
yeah,
and
and
things.
like, also, I realized I needed a life coach, I needed a business coach, I needed help. Okay,
Yes.
so I was like, now, I was talking with some colleagues and some friends. I said, like, wouldn't it be great if there was like a group of women who all had these services that I really liked and I trusted? Because you Google website developer, Janice, 50 million people show
I
up
know.
and you're like, who the hell should I work with? And then you like go on a couple of websites and you just click on something. And the next thing like you're getting 10,000 emails from them.
Yeah.
And you're
There's
like,
that.
hold
Yeah.
up. So I was like, wouldn't it be great? So they were like, yeah, that would be so great. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a call. I'm gonna have a call. I'm gonna invite you to a Zoom and you'll
Yeah.
show up because I'm gonna talk about this. Yeah.
Okay.
So I had the first call. I don't know, I had three people on it, and it was fun. We had a great time. So I was like, now they told people and they
Yeah.
told people. So the first year, it was like, it was also the pandemic. Women were showing up. They were like, this
Yes.
is great. We came, I was like, Women Beyond the Table, because I was imagining the Knights of the Round Table, but we're
Yeah.
women and
Yeah.
we're beyond the table. We're not just serving. We used to serve at the table, then we got a seat at the table, but this is beyond the table. Like, we were having a great time. So the first year was just proof of concept. And then we started charging membership, building a subscription, and everything was step by step. But what really was cool for us is we decided from day one, like who we are and who we're gonna talk to. So the women who we attract and who are, it wasn't a C-suite. We had some of those kind of C-suite women, but really that solopreneur, that woman who was a C-suite or was working in a business, and now she's like, you know what, I want to do my own thing. So
Yeah.
now there's no team, see?
Right.
Like, she doesn't have a team. She might have one assistant helping her or one
Right.
VA, and she's
Yeah.
got to figure out all this stuff. So let's bring some speakers on. Like, we have a monthly call, we get together, we see each other, and they were getting together by themselves too, which was a beautiful thing. But we started bringing in like education, but then we started realizing, you know what? Just like I had to realize it, if your mindset, if your well-being, if your health and wellness isn't thought of, how are you going to do business, right? So we started mixing the health and wellness with business, and we became a business network with a soul. And this
Love it.
really was something that women were just like, I like that. And they came in and they go, you know what? I feel it's a very special energy. I feel like you're my sisters. I feel you're my friends. Like, and I was like, yeah. I go, look, if you're coming, and I tell people point blank, if you're coming in here, and we have a lot of coaches, a lot of people, we have like six, seven different industries represented. But I'm like, if you're coming in here thinking, oh, I have like 65 women who are going to buy my services, no, you're in
No,
the
it's
wrong
not going to work.
place because they don't really know you. That's number one. I said, but if you're looking to leverage your social capital, which means that you need a question answered, you don't know something, or maybe you want to be connected to somebody, that's what we're
Put it
here
out
for.
there.
So a lot of women and a lot of people have questions they don't know the answer to, and they don't know where to find the information. So somebody can help you with that and can answer it. And that to me is what it's about. And then over time, you know, you might wind up doing business 3 years down the road. You might wind up being connected to somebody who you do business with because you had a connection of somebody you like and trust. So there's so much to networking. And we actually wound up doing three videos of how do you network? Like, why do you network? How do you go about networking? What is the point of networking? What's fear of missing out from attending every event? Because we offer also, we're virtual, but what Women Beyond the Table does is we'll list the in-person events because we want them to have a well-rounded in-person and virtual. So we're like, what is the purpose of networking and why do you network? Most women will just don't know how to network. They're shy, or they'll do what women do. And you know, that's what makes us different than men. I've noticed when men network, they get right down to it, you know, like they're making a deal. They're not shy about it. They'll ask and they'll do it. Women, it's different. Like we're not really programmed to ask or to be, you know, like this or like, I think it's changing a lot. I think we also talk more about ourselves and our families because that's important. And women just do it differently.
They
It's not that
do.
it's wrong or right. So we're like, you know, try to encourage them to like be a little strategic, know what you're looking for when you go there. Make sure the event you're going to is in alignment with who you are and the kind of customers you want. You're looking for the kind of people you want to build relationships with, the kind of connections you want to make. Sometimes just attending every event, you're not going to get anything out of it.
I always say it's important to be curious. You have to ask questions, but they don't have to be targeted. You have to ask the questions that will allow the person you're meeting to talk about themselves a little bit so that you can see who they are, and people love to talk about themselves.
Yeah,
So,
but also there's the follow-up section. You know, you
of
have to follow
course.
up. Like there's like a whole bunch of elements that go into it. But we're, you know, really a community that's dedicated to accelerating professional success and personal growth. Like, you know, like that's our thing. And we wound up starting the podcast, the Women Beyond the Table podcast. So it just became that. And it became a very nice community of people. And now 40% of our women exchange services, but at the end of the day, they just like each other. And
That's
that's
nice.
really,
And
that's the
how
best.
often do you meet? Once a month, you said.
We meet once a month.
That's
That's
perfect.
it because people are busy. I mean, I know there are groups that are meeting weekly. We just do once a month, but we also, you know, we have our directory. We encourage them to
Reach
interact with
out
each
to each
other.
other.
We have our WhatsApp group. Now, the WhatsApp group is live daily. I mean, people, they're just throwing offers out at each other and sharing, I'm here, I'm there, I'm this, I'm that, what's up? Like we're congratulating each other, we're supporting, we're inspiring each other. So it's that WhatsApp chat is really nice. And
Oh,
they have
that's
the
good.
podcast too. So you have a newsletter, you know, like we keep in touch.
Well, that's important, right? I have a question here that I'm going to ask it anyway. How have gratitude and accountability become cornerstones of your communication style?
You know what? If I feel so grateful, on a regular basis. And the best exercise I ever did, there was two things that really helped me, start wrapping my head around things. So one was a coach said to me, just write down. I want you to write down like what you're grateful for. Like just think what you're grateful for and just write it. And then I want you to contact one person every day for 30 days. This is 30 day homework. And tell them what you're grateful for about them. And I was like, that's hard. But
30 is a lot.
it was it. And then the other thing that really helped a lot was here's my other assignment that I was given. For 3 weeks, 3 weeks, every day, you're gonna write a list, you're gonna make a page in a journal of the things that you're proud of that you accomplished in your life. Things that made you go, yes, okay, that you're really proud of. And I was like, are you out of your mind? I don't have a page to fill up. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. That I don't think I can do that. Well, I did it. And not only did I fill up the pages, no problem. It was exhilarating because I never looked at myself that way as somebody who accomplished things, who did good things, who did worthy. I never saw it. I never felt it.
You're
So,
just so busy doing. That's the thing.
or you just like we're taught like not an egomaniac, you don't pat yourself. But even something as simple like even just my sons, just realizing like there's so much good. So it just became like it just carried on because every person I'm grateful to meet, and every day I say in my prayers, I thank God for everything, everything. Waking up in the morning, it's become a way of life.
Well, and you've had some challenges health-wise lately, and you've come through it amazingly. And I honestly, I'm in awe of how you manage things. Just the few times that we've connected over this last few months. So one final question. What's one message that you hope listeners take away today about the power of relationships in every day, in every area of life?
Wow. Listen, we're humans, right? We're human beings. I mean, connection is the most important thing if you think about it. I mean, look what happened during the pandemic when people didn't have the opportunity. I mean, thank God there was internet. Could you imagine being Mad Max? There was no internet.
Oh, and by the way, you talk about connection. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think it's important in this question to mention that I'm connected with this wonderful woman in Israel, Annette. And Annette introduced me to
That's
you,
right.
right? And here.
Annette's a woman beyond the table. And I work with Annette. Like I hire her for services.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool. So, we wouldn't have that without the internet, for sure.
For sure. And like I was thinking about it, I said to my husband once, it would be Mad Max Road Warrior if the pandemic happened and there was, no cyber, no way to connect, no way to order things, no you see how people like they felt like isolated, they felt alone, and they had phones. It wasn't you could talk to anybody you want, message anybody you want. So we're built for that. That's what human beings are built for, and everything is built on as a relationship. Business is relationships. You can't take that away. And if you take out the relationships and the connection, you get depression.
So true. Yeah, it's so true. You're amazing. Thank you for your time today. And I'd like to just say to my audience that, Tammy reminds us that connection starts with intention. Whether you're crafting a brand message, texting your child, or building a business network, how you choose your work, how you choose your words can build trust, deepen relationships, and make people feel seen. It's not about being perfect, it's about being present. So I hope if this episode sparked something in you, maybe it's time to send a message, one that comes from the heart. So thank you.
No,
Any last?
thank you. That was so beautiful. I love it.
Thank you so much. And remember, everyone, to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.